the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Good afternoon and welcome to Exploring the Word. I'm Jim Stanley, sitting in for Brother Bert Harper. And I believe from beautiful North Carolina, Dr. Alex McFarland is with me this afternoon.
Beautiful, sunny, a little bit hot, a little bit humid, but beautiful North Carolina indeed. It's good to be with you, Jim.
Well, good. I knew that you had been traveling over the past weekend, but I didn't remember you have any travel in the middle of the week this week. So I felt safe in saying that. Where are you going to be this weekend?
Well, God bless you. You know, I actually do have a little bit of travel because tomorrow I'm going to be going to Cincinnati, Ohio. And what we're going to be doing Thursday morning at Landmark Baptist Church in Cincinnati, and I know we've got listeners up that way, 9 a.m., Landmark Baptist Church, there's a room in the church called The Venue. Thursday, 9 a.m., we're going to have a breakfast for leaders and pastors and really anybody. The first 50 people that get there get a free copy of my book. And we're going to be just talking about the battle of worldview and how we can evangelize.
Whoa, wait a second.
What's that?
What book?
It's a book called 10 Issues That Divide Christians.
All right, and so for those 50 people that aren't going to be there and be first in line, how do they get a copy?
They can go on to, a lot of my books are at the AFRstore.net or support your local Christian bookstore. So, yeah, I wish
back
we could
to your story because I rudely interrupted you.
No, that's fine. You know, I wrote this book called 10 Issues That Divide Christians, where we talk about, from a biblical perspective, things like abortion and homosexuality, the environment, immigration, pornography, gay marriage, things like that, from a biblical worldview, even things like the death penalty. You know, how could a Christian be pro-life and support the death penalty for convicted murderers? So it's kind of a book on getting a biblical perspective, a biblically informed perspective. And then Friday morning, Richmond, and I know we have a lot of great Exploring the Word listeners in Richmond, 7 a.m. Friday morning, this coming up Friday, there's a place called Joey's Hot Dogs, which is a restaurant in Richmond, and they have a men's group called Man Church. And I'm going to be speaking at Man Church, and listen to this, Jim, on Friday morning, I'm going to be talking about gender roles. What does the Bible say about the roles of men and women, and why does a biblical perspective on gender matter in the 21st century? So we invite, and we will have free books at that one too. So Cincinnati Thursday morning and Richmond Friday morning, I'd love to see any listeners that want to come out.
All right, Dr. Alex McFarland, and you can find a complete travel schedule and how to bring him to your location at alexmcfarland.com, alexmcfarland.com. By the way, he was too modest to say it, but I don't mind because I'm not known for my modesty or, you know, lack of speaking up as needed. But what I was going to say is that you can also find a lot of his resources there as well at alexmcfarland.com. And as he was so gracious to mention, afastore.net. That's afastore.net. You may be wondering why I'm kind of doing a little advertisement for Alex. Well, here's why. He's a great friend to the ministry of American Family Association. He has given of himself selflessly, not selfishly, but selflessly to this ministry. And sometimes we just need to give back. And so Alex does a great job for us. We are so grateful that he's part of Exploring the Word every day. And I can tell you that if you bring him to your church, you will be impacted by a powerful speaker speaking the word of the Lord in spirit and in truth. And so, Alex, I know that we don't do that often, but you know me, every now and then I kind of get on a roll, and I have to take up for you. So,
well, you are so kind. And let me just say, we give God the glory. We're excited about Jesus. And, you know, I am so excited to, everywhere I go, number one, obviously, I represent the gospel. We're trying to tell people about the Lord. But secondly, I am an enthusiastic, passionate promoter of the American Family Association. And when I was in Minneapolis over the weekend, Jim, a number of folks came by. There were hundreds of people there. And they say, listen, we listen at AFR.net. The shows are archived. And people were asking me, they were saying, what is Abe Hamilton like? And do you know Brian Fisher? And have you ever met Sandy Rios and people like that? And I said, oh, man, they're phenomenal. And let me just say this. And we're, folks, if you have your Bible, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to get into 1 Thessalonians 2. Here's why we're kind of talking a minute and we're excited, because God is doing something.
Amen.
And there is a movement building. And Jim, you've been around AFA for how many years, would you say?
I've been here 19 years.
Well, praise God. It's always been great. But don't you feel like there's just the Lord's hand is on this ministry in a huge way? People all across America, many people have a station in their city and they're able to listen, but a lot of other people, they get the journal, they get newsletters, they get things from American Family Studios, they listen online, they follow EngageMagazine.net, they listen to the Urban Family Network. Here's the thing. God is using AFA, and we are super pumped because people are coming to the Lord, and many are coming back to the Lord. And if it sounds like we're pretty enthused about what God is doing in this ministry, you're right.
Absolutely. And as Alex mentioned, we are going to be, in fact, we're about to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17. And this is one of the shows that we do, and Bert has talked about it before, you've talked about it before, but this is kind of a break from politics. Now, that's not to say politics aren't important, because they are. And there are times that we will get involved, especially when it's a cultural battle that's going on. And, you know, if it's a battle for life, if it's a battle for family marriage, it's those kind of things that we don't mind speaking out on. But by and large, we want to bring the Scripture to you. And so today we invite you to open up in the New Testament of your Bible to the book of 1 Thessalonians. It's actually a letter from the Apostle Paul, and we believe it's one of the earliest letters that he wrote to some of the churches that he had gone through and seen on his missionary trips. And so, Alex, we're at verse 17 there. Kick us off.
But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. Jim, let me ask you, do you remember the name, and I believe he was the founder of the Navigators, Dawson Trotman? Do you recall that name?
No, sir, I don't.
Well, he was the founder of a ministry called the Navigators, and he, back in the late 40s, early 50s, he and Billy Graham were great friends. And Dawson Trotman said that the discipleship process isn't complete until the one you are discipling can disciple others. Mm. Now, Paul is saying, look, we wanted to come to you, and we might have been out of your presence, but, you know, you weren't out of our heart. And he says, you are our glory, these Thessalonican Christians. And I think about this. You know, every Christian has the privilege, but really the responsibility, to invest their life in the lives of others. And just like the man from the Navigator said, you know, we disciple people so that they ultimately could disciple others. I think about my dear friend Mark Middleburg, who took under his wing a new believer and invested. And Mark Middleburg was discipling a guy named Lee Strobel. Lee Strobel.
Wow.
Would go. Yeah, I mean, think about this. And I often, it's my privilege to introduce Mark at events sometimes. And I said, you know, he discipled the man that would write a book called The Case for Christ. The Case for Christ would sell about 10 million copies, which makes it one of the biggest selling Christian books of our lifetime. And whenever I say to Mark, you know, you shaped the man that would become Lee Strobel, you did good. That's good. But when Paul says in verse 20, you are our glory and our joy, Jim, I honestly think the two things that matter the most should be, what did we do for our Lord? What did we do for our loved ones?
Well, and you know, that's one of the things that I've talked about as far as salvation. It's not our sins that send us to hell. because our sin has been paid for at the cross. Now, before I get a lot of folks thinking I'm a heretic, let me finish that statement. Because here's what's going to be asked of us, I believe, when we're there at the throne of judgment. The question's going to be, what did you do with my son? Because I sent him to pay the price for you. So what did you do with Jesus? Did you accept him as Lord and Savior? And of course, God knows the answer to that. And the way we're going to know that God knows is because he's either going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or depart from me, I never knew you. And this goes back directly to what Alex just talked about, discipleship, and that we are called to be disciples. We're called to be preachers of the gospel. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be an ordained preacher to preach the gospel. All you have to do is know Jesus, because it's about that relationship. And so even Paul here says, for who is our hope or joy or crown? You know, in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming. And so, Alex, I think that you're right. And, you know, and of course I think that you're right. I can't think of any time that I've disagreed with you.
And vice versa, my friend.
And so it's one of those things that we want to be careful as we go through, that we really do go line upon line and precept upon precept. And so this kind of message is what you hear. And then he goes on there in chapter 3 as we continue in 1 Thessalonians. And it says, therefore, we could no longer stand it. We thought it was better to be left alone in Athens, and we sent Timothy, our brother, and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ. Notice how the introduction there, the affirmation that he gives to what Timothy did. Because he didn't just say, my co-worker. He went a step further and said, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
And so what was he sent for? Well, he was sent to strengthen and encourage you concerning your faith, so that no one will be shaken by these persecutions. Now, we need to be careful here, Alex, because this is Paul speaking to the church of Thessalonica, but I also believe that he's speaking to the church today, because mm-hmm. there's going to come a day that we're going to be more persecuted. All we have to do is look around and see the Christians in Sudan and the Christians in the Middle East and how they're being treated. And then we talk about our religious freedom being on trial here in America a lot, and a lot of things happening to curb or curtail that. But here's the thing. That's not persecution. The real persecution hasn't made it here yet, has it?
It really hasn't. And you know, we're going to pretty soon be celebrating the 4th of July, and that's one of my favorite days on the calendar, is America's Independence Day. But really, for the 242 years since the Declaration and Constitution were written, you know, we have been pretty much blissfully shielded from persecution. That does seem to be changing a bit. But Jim, I in the year 2000, I met a pastor from India. I was actually in Amsterdam at a Billy Graham conference, and I met a pastor from India, and one of the pastors in their village had been beheaded for the gospel. That's persecution.
Absolutely.
And hopefully we never have to face something like that, but we may.
Well, folks, this is Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. The voice you just heard was Dr. Alex McFarland. I'm Jim Stanley in for Bert Harper this week, and we'll be back with more of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 right after this.
This is Pause to Pray, a moment to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Dan Scavino, Director of White House Social Media. Mr. Scavino manages online content and communication for President Trump, who communicates daily with more than 95 million followers. Psalm 19:14 reminds us of the importance of God's guidance in our communication. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to guide Dan Scavino in his role as assistant to the president. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team. Help support the prayer team by signing up for our matching challenge, now through July 4th. Details available at pausetopray.org.
God always judges fairly because he's God. But how does he judge sympathetically? Dr. Tony Evans says that's because of Jesus. He'll take us to Hebrews 4:15 as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
There is no category of life that anybody in this building has experienced that Jesus has not experienced that category. He knows what it is to be lonely. He knows what it is to be rejected. He knows what it is to be hurt. He knows what it is. The Bible says he cried and he shed tears like drops of blood. So he knows when you're weeping how it feels to weep. And he even knows what it is to feel sin. Because on the cross he bore our sin. It wasn't his sin, but he bore the judgment and the weight of the consequences of sin. So I don't care who you are, what you've been through, what you are going through, what you will go through. Jesus can tell the Father, God, I feel that. I feel that. I can tell you how that feels because I've been there, done that. I know what it is to go through that. I know what it is to be hungry. I know how to go through all of that. I know what it is to be homeless. For foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. I know what it is to be homeless. I know what it is to go through life struggles. So you have a high priest who can sympathize. See, all God the Father can do is know it, but God the Son can feel it. And when the knowledge of God the Father meets the sympathy of God the Son, you got a double hitter.
Learn more about what the names used to describe Jesus really mean and what they say about how he wants to relate with us. Check out Tony's book, The Power of Jesus Names, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Hey, I'm Mac Powell of Third Day. Each of us might have a friend, neighbor, or loved one who struggles with substance abuse, but there is a way out.
Hi, my name is Leslie. My diagnosis was severe nerve damage from the excessive amounts of alcohol. I was numb from the waist down. There was death or Teen Challenge, and I chose Teen Challenge and to live. I am alive and I have never felt so amazing from the inside out because I have Jesus in my life.
If you or a loved one, whether a teen or an adult, is ready to end an addiction, Teen Challenge can help. You can call them toll free at 1-855-END-ADDICTION or visit them online at teenchallengeusa.com. You're listening to American Family Radio.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Exploring the Word here on American Family Radio. By the way, during the last portion of our conversation, we were talking about the various networks that we have. And Alex mentioned the Urban Family Network, and we've actually, today is the first day that we have brought those stations back under the AFR umbrella so that we can kind of speak with one voice. And it's something that we should have done several years ago, but we've actually been praying for it for a couple of years to make sure that we were doing what the Lord would have us to do. And so I want to welcome those folks from Norwood, Georgia, from Decatur and Meridian, Mississippi, the folks there in Madison, Mississippi, and in Columbia, Mississippi, who may not have heard Exploring the Word before. This program is for you as much as it is everyone else, and we're very happy to have you along with us. And so welcome aboard, and just want to make sure that you folks continue to listen and that you tell a friend about Exploring the Word. But as we say every day, more importantly, tell a friend about Jesus.
Well,
we're in the third chapter of 1 Thessalonians in the New Testament of your Bible, and we were talking about persecution just before the break. And Alex, you were talking about knowing a pastor who had a friend that had been beheaded, and that was persecution.
Oh, my word, yes.
When we look towards the tribulation. And I don't want to get into, you know, pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, or any
Post-toasties.
Of that. Yeah, you know, exactly. But when it talks about the great persecution that's going to take place there, that's some of the things that are going to happen. There's going to come a day where we're going to have to choose. And if the rapture comes before the tribulation, fantastic. If the rapture comes during the tribulation, fantastic. If the rapture doesn't come until after the tribulation, fantastic. All I know is that we're called to be ready and watching and waiting upon the Lord. But Paul says here that he's right, that Timothy came in the gospel to strengthen and encourage you concerning your faith, so that no one would be shaken by these persecutions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. In fact, when we were with you, we told you previously that we were going to suffer persecution. And as you know, it's happened. For this reason, when I could no longer stand it, I also sent him to find out about your faith, fearing that the tempter had tempted you and that our labor might be for nothing. So Paul was genuinely concerned about this church that he had helped to found during his time on his missionary journey, and that he wanted to make sure they had not lost their faith. Well, Alex, mm-hmm. correct me if I'm wrong, but this is around the time that Nero was crucifying Christians and literally burning them on the cross. And so that's the kind of tribulation the early church was undergoing.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, we often talk about the fact that how the apostles and the early Christians were valiant, and they didn't recant, even in the face of great persecution and martyrdom. I've got a very dear friend in the ministry named Sean McDowell. He's the son of Josh McDowell, and he was debating an atheist once, and the atheist said, well, how do you know no Christian ever recanted? And he said, that's a good question. So Sean McDowell, and he's now a professor on the West Coast. He's just a champion for the gospel. But he did his PhD dissertation on the early church persecutions. And he was later telling me, we were at an event, and he was wrapping up the writing of his dissertation. He said, Alex, he said, in my study, he said, for one thing, the persecution of the early church was more intense than I even realized. And he spent several years researching. He said, but as far as we know, all of the major church leaders, the apostles, then those that came afterward, like Chrysostom and Justin Martyr and other ones, he said they all were, as far as the historical record shows, not just Christian records, but Roman and Greek sources, they were willing to die for what they knew was true. And, you know, I'm sure you've heard the word tribulation means the grinding of wheat. Mm-hmm. And there in verse 4 it says, for in fact we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer persecution, just as it happened. And you know, for this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith. In other words, Paul inquired, hey, how are they doing? Lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. And so he goes on and he talks about, you know, standing strong, and Timothy, who was, you know, working with and for Paul, and Timothy was bringing the news back and forth. But Jim, I really think the time to prepare for persecution is before it happens.
Amen.
I've told this story a number of times, but it was my privilege. I bet it was about 1995. We brought to Greensboro, North Carolina, Tom Landry, the coach of the Dallas Cowboys. And we had dinner before this big youth event. We had several thousand kids come out to the Coliseum, and Coach Landry shared his testimony. We gave an altar call, and a lot of young people accepted Christ. And we had dinner with some of the people who helped us put this together. And, you know, we were just in awe of Tom Landry. And somebody said, Coach Landry, I guess you saw a lot of men become great athletes out there on the field. Just kind of a random question. Coach Landry paused and he said, well, you don't become a great athlete in the middle of the game on the field. If you're a great athlete, it's because of the preparation before the contest.
Mm.
Now, the reason I'm saying that, regarding tribulation, or whether it's like being ready to witness and share the gospel, or being ready to go through a deep valley and process something, you know, faithfully, Listen, friend, the time to go deep with Jesus and to get really strong is now. You know, JFK famously said, the time to repair the roof is while the sun is still shining.
Right.
And so I do think we need, you know, we don't need to seek persecution, but we need to be ready for it, should it come, when it comes. Because if you go back to verse in chapter 2, one of the verses there where Satan had tried to hinder them and buffet them, in the latter part of chapter 2, Paul said, you know, this was in verse 18, Satan hindered us. The devil is always going to be trying to hinder the church and discourage the Christians. But Timothy gives a good report, and he says, look, in all their affliction and their distress, they were comforted, and Paul is comforted because they were standing fast in the Lord. Verse 8, to stand fast in the Lord. That's good times, bad times, at all times. That's our aspiration, isn't it, Jim?
It absolutely is. And, you know, when we talk about that, Alec, and this is a question that may take us just a little outside the context of our study today, but it's a question that I think a lot of Christians have. And one of the, you know, we blame Satan for a lot of stuff, all right? I mean, the devil gets the blame anytime something goes wrong. However, the scripture also tells us that the Lord chastises those who he loves. So how are we able to tell the difference between persecution and chastisement?
Good question. Good question. Well, let me say this. The Lord allows stuff into our life, I really believe it, to cause us to lean on him and to pray to him. One thing we know, that the Lord will never tempt us to sin or do evil. Now, we get stretched, and callers, maybe you want to weigh in on this. And let me give the number, folks, because in just a moment we're going to open up the telephone line on today's edition of Exploring the Word. And the number is 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear from you. But here's one of the points of differentiation. The Lord might allow struggles, you know, whether it's praying for a prodigal child or you're having to wait on the Lord as you agonize over a diagnosis, or you're praying about a lab report right now, or you're worried about something, or you're, you know, maybe you need to, you know, get on your knees and just begin, learn how to praise God in the course of every single day. But if it's a temptation and you're struggling with sin or something, the Lord is never going to lead you to do that which is evil. I firmly believe that, Jim.
Oh, no, and I would totally agree with that. There in the verses that we were talking about, you know, it says that Paul was comforted. And as you mentioned in verse 8, it says, for now we live if you stand firm in the Lord. And John 16:33 is the words of Christ. And it says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation or trouble or persecution, whichever phrase you want to use there. But Jesus is warning us that there is, if we follow him, there's going to be times that that's going to cause us trouble. And so we are, even in the midst of that, to be of good cheer, because as Christ said, I have overcome the world. And so, Alex, I think that's one of the things that, you know, Paul found comfort in as well, because he saw the faith of these people. And being a new church, you know, being a church that was founded and was founded in the faith of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Christ as preached by Paul, think about that. When we are there and we see the trouble, even if it's chastisement, we are to be of good cheer. Why? Because we know that he is loving us through that time to help make our faith stronger, so we might be able to face the next, you know, the next problem, the next thing. And again, there, gosh, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 10, where it says, he will not tempt us above that which we are able to bear or escape. He won't allow that temptation to come.
And verse 13.
Verse 13, thank you. And so those are the things that we can cling to in times of trouble. Because again, and I appreciate your answer on that, Alex, and I really do, because we as Christians, a lot of times, we want to always blame our troubles on someone else. Sometimes we have to accept responsibility for what we've done, and we put ourselves in that corner.
I've told this story, but I was in Wilmington, North Carolina a couple years ago, and I was going to the church to preach, and I came out of my hotel and had a flat tire. So I was in a suit and tie, but anyway, I got down and I changed the tire, and I made it to the church, you know, in the nick of time, but I did make it on time. And by the way, if you're going to change a tire, it's way easier to not have a suit and tie on. I will say that. But the preacher said, you know, oh, the old devil didn't want you to get here, but you did. And, you know, about the third time that the preacher announced that the devil had caused me to have a flat tire,
right?
I said, hey, I know what you mean. I said, but to be honest, I think I just hit a nail, you know? You know, you're right. We do blame things on the devil. And listen, Satan is the enemy of our souls. He's
absolutely
the enemy of the church. And, you know, Matthew 16:18, Jesus said that, you know, that he would build the church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Praise the Lord. We are victorious over the fiery darts of the devil. But, you know, there are things that happen just in the context of a fallen world.
Mm.
And so let me just say this. When, you know, fill in the blank, you know, bad things happen, tough times come along. Some of the most godly people I have ever known, I mean, some champions for Christ, have gotten cancer,
right?
Have lost their job. And don't despair. Let me just say this unequivocally. The Lord will never leave you or forsake you. That's
Amen.
Hebrews 13. And Jesus has not abandoned you, and Jesus has not turned fickle or mean. Some of the stuff that we go through is just part and parcel of being in a fallen world, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is. And I like what Paul said here, and we're gonna make it to through. We're gonna get to your phone calls in just a second. I'm sorry, I'm having something's going on with my hamster on the wheel up there. It's not spinning like it's supposed to. But it's Paul says here in verse 9 of chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians. How can we thank God for you in return for all the joy we experienced before our God because of you? As we pray very earnestly night and day to see you face to face and to complete what is lacking in your faith. So, Alex, and I know that this is hard to do, but think about it. Be the church that when they first received this letter, they hadn't heard from Paul in a little bit. And here is this letter thanking them for having received Timothy, for the report that Timothy brought back to him about how their faith is standing, and then that they are the reason for part of his joy, even in his own time of tribulation. And then he says, how can we thank God for you in return for all that joy? Imagine being that church. What kind of shot in the arm would that be to them? What if your preacher got up this week and said, hey, I want you to know this week, I thank God for every one of you because of the joy that you bring to my life.
Wow. And indeed, you know, I'm telling you, that does mean so much. Back in April, I was down near Elizabeth City. I was just a little bit below Norfolk preaching, and I saw a young man named Kyle Truman. And Kyle, you might be listening today, and if you are, God bless you, brother. But it was my privilege to lead this young man to the Lord 20 years ago, maybe 21 years ago. And he's a pastor now, and he's staying with the stuff.
Amen.
And let me tell you, it is a blessing when you meet somebody you've invested in and they've gone the distance with Christ.
Amen. We'll be right back with Exploring the Word on AFR.
There were added that day about 3,000 souls. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. The day of Pentecost concluded with 3,000 converts being added to the initial body of 120 believers. Then that 3,120 spent time together daily, going to the temple and interacting in each other's homes. They devoted themselves continually to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, sharing meals together, and praying together. The 3,120 that made up the early church came from Turkey, the Middle East, and Africa, and included Arabs and Romans. In addition to the geographic and ethnic diversity, they also spoke different languages. Yet they were made one family in Christ Jesus. Scripture has the answer to the issues we face today.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Hello, I'm Gary Robey, host of Call to Worship, heard each Sunday on American Family Radio. This one-hour program will lead you in a special time of worship and praise. We will focus on God's Word, spoken, and in music. Call to Worship has a different topic each week as we glorify God together. Be sure to join us at 5 a.m. Central each Sunday for a Call to Worship right here on American Family Radio.
The Augsburg Confession, presented to the Holy Roman Emperor Charles V at the Diet of Augsburg on June 25, 1530, became one of the most pivotal documents of the Protestant Reformation.
Written by Luther's colleague, German reformer Philip Melanchthon, the Confession clearly articulated Lutheran theological convictions, a document intended to restore political and religious unity in the free territories of Germany. It became the primary confession of faith for the Lutheran Church. Melanchthon used biblical references throughout each of the 28 articles of confession, including Romans chapters 3 and 4 in the article outlining Luther's argument for justification by faith.
That men cannot be justified before God by their own strength, merits, or works, but are freely justified for Christ's sake through faith.
Engage with the Bible in the history of its impact over the centuries.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
That's David Crowder of Crowder. It used to be the David Crowder Band, and he updated, I guess, if you will. And so the cross is my victory. And as we look here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, it says, "Now may God our Father, pardon me, may God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord cause you to increase and overflow with love for one another and for everyone, just as we also do for you. May he make your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints." The cross is our victory, isn't it, Alex?
Amen. It really, really is. And, you know, when you think about the cross, how Jesus, the sinless Son of God, laid his back to a beam of wood, shouldered the sin debt of the world, paid it all, said, "It is finished," rose from the dead. Jim, that's one of the great encouragements to me. Whenever, you know, going through a hard time, as we all do, or, you know, feel like, you know, we're under a burden or persecution or struggle, hey, look, if Jesus could beat death, pay the sins of the world, rise from the dead, he can meet my need. And one last thing, and we wrap up 1 Thessalonians 3, but there in verse 10, they're talking about praying exceedingly that we might see you face to face and perfect what is lacking in your faith.
Yeah.
The word there is actually the word supply. It's an interesting word, and it means kind of three things. It means to repair, adjust, and thoroughly complete. Now, isn't it something, whether it's that mature Christian who's invested in us that we look up to, through that mentor, the Lord is working to repair, adjust, and complete your faith. Through that Billy Graham book you might have read one day, through that local church you're a part of, through something you hear on AFA. The beautiful thing that we rejoice in, number one, rejoice in Jesus, the Son of God. Number two, rejoice in his finished work. But number three, rejoice that in your life, whether it's the Holy Spirit within you, it's your own study of the Bible, it's maybe a sermon you heard on AFR, it's something you experienced at church, God is ever working, friend, to repair, adjust, and thoroughly complete your walk, your witness, your growth in Christ.
Amen. Good stuff, Alex. Well, let's go to Jason calling from Mississippi, and we may come back and discuss that ending a little more tomorrow. So go ahead and put a pin there in verse 10 and verses 11 through 13 there. Mm-hmm. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. But, you know, because that prayer for the church is incredible. Well, let's talk to Jason now, calling from Mississippi. Jason, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, thank you. I listen often, but I don't call in very much. I listen to the comments, and y'all are popular enough, it's hard to get through sometimes. So God bless you. Thank you for your stance and your knowledge and being able to share that. I'm a youth pastor in Mississippi, and one of the things that I try to, and I think I hear this in what you're saying today, but one thing that I try to get my youth to understand and commit to is to have an answer for sin before sin asks the question. One of the things that I drive them to try to do, if you are caught off guard by a sinful act that's coming your way, there's no telling what you'll do. But if you determine in your mind and pray for it before it ever happens, it makes that decision a whole lot easier when the answer is already on your lips.
God bless you. First of all, let me say I commend you for being a youth pastor, and me too, brother. I was full-time in youth ministry 11 years, and my heart is always in working with young people. So God bless you, brother. I commend you for what you're doing. But you're right. The time to prepare is ahead of time. Let me just say this to the young people listening. The time to commit to moral purity is not some Friday night in the back seat of a car when you're in a compromised position being tempted. I mean, the time to commit to walk with Jesus and to keep yourself pure is now, while the Holy Spirit is calling to you. The time to decide to stay sober and remember that Jesus is the Lord of your life is not out there in the heat of the temptation, but it's ahead of the challenge. Jim, wouldn't you agree?
Yes, sir, I would. And it goes back to something that you said earlier, you know, with Coach Landry talking about the time of preparation. And so I think that's always important. So, Jason, thank you for what you're doing there.
Good work.
And, you know, look, I say this in all humility. If you're looking for some help, if you're looking for some answers, if you're looking for some studies to do with you young people, I would commend to you the apologetics that Alex has and that's available there at his website. He's got some great, and even maybe have him come in at some point and do an apologetics conference, not just for you, but for maybe the churches of the community as well. I think that would also help prepare your students. And Alex, you've also got Truth for a New Generation coming up as well, don't you?
We do. We're going to be in Richmond, Virginia in October. We're going to be in Cincinnati, Ohio in November. And so, you know, one book that I would encourage people to go through is just as a starting point. I wrote this book called The 10 Most Common Objections to Christianity and How to Answer Them. And it's at an eighth grade reading level. None of my books are past an eighth grade reading level, and that's on purpose. We want them to be kind of accessible to a broad audience. But thanks for plugging that, Jim, and God bless you, brother, for what you're doing. Okay, here's the number, folks, 888-589-8840. We would love to hear your Bible question or hear from you today on Exploring the Word.
Well, let's talk to Lynn calling in from Tennessee. Lynn, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you. How are you brothers doing?
Doing well.
Doing well. Good. I got a couple. Maybe a question, maybe a comment. By the way, I heard your program. I've been listening for a while, and heard someone. I caught the end of it. That one of you guys or somebody was a graduate or BBC in Springfield, Missouri.
Well, we've got some friends from there, like the late, great Dr. John Rawlings and his son, Harold Rawlings.
Oh, yeah, I heard Dr. Rawlings. Sure, yeah. I'm a graduate of BBC. I heard Dr. Rawlings come preach at chapel many times.
Oh, yeah. Do you know his son, Harold, who has the Bible collection?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think his church was Landmark Baptist Church. And
and that's where I'm going to be in Cincinnati on Thursday.
Cincinnati, Ohio. Oh, yeah. My couple of questions, a comment. Number one is, I've always been intrigued with the blind men and the Bible, and I could be wrong on this, and I'm sure why that I know there were many people healed, both male and female, but there was not mention of one female mentioned healed from blindness. It was all males. And my comment is, I believe because they were the head of the house and they could now make a living for the family. I could be wrong, but after thinking about that, there was no mention of any females healed from blindness. They were only males.
Interesting. And Jim, you can weigh in on this. I mean, when we've got women, you know, being healed in the Bible, there's Mary Magdalene, and there's the woman that had the issue of blood that was healed, and there in Mark chapter 5, the blind being healed. It certainly wasn't that Jesus couldn't have, and maybe he did, just because. I'll put it this way: as Harold Wilmington of Liberty said, that the Bible doesn't record everything Jesus said or did, but it records enough to give us a picture of his person, his power, and his purpose, who he was, what he was capable of doing, and what he was there to do. So there might be 1,000 times more healings than he did that we just don't have recorded. So the Bible records everything we need to know, but not everything we might necessarily want to know.
Mm-hmm. No, I think you're right there, Alex. And when you think of the healings and the different things, you know that God had a heart of compassion for the women. He had a heart of compassion for the children. And as you said, some of the things that we saw there were representative of what some women's special needs might be. When we think of restoration and how he ministered to the woman at the well, and that was a God-planned exchange there, because Jesus went out of his way to go by that well so that he could be there at that appointed time to speak with her and restore her and help her come to know Christ, even as a Samaritan. You know, it's one of those things that we see that Christ has compassion for outsiders. We see that Christ has compassion, quote-unquote, for insiders. We know that Christ died for all, so that all might have hope of our everlasting life through him.
Amen. Amen.
Right. Hey, Lynn.
888-589-8840. We've got time for a couple more calls, probably.
We do, and we're going to go to Ryan in Texas. Ryan, good afternoon, and welcome to Exploring the Word.
8840.
All right, we're going to take and we're going to come right back to you. Go ahead and turn your radio all the way down so that you can talk to us, and then you'll be able to talk to us directly and not just from the delay. So, Ryan, are you with us?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I turned it down.
All right. Good deal. You had a question for us this afternoon?
Yes, sir. I was recently reading an Acts, and I came to, I believe the couple's name was Ananias and Sapphira, and I was just puzzled by their death. I had to read it a few times to see that they actually died, and I was just wondering if y'all could break that down for me, like, why were they judged right then? Why did he take up, I'm just trying to figure out the lesson behind all of it and what it is, why was that put into the scriptures? What all am I supposed to get from that?
Okay, Ryan, what I'm going to do is we'll answer your question and let you listen on your radio. And again, thank you for the call. That's a great reminder and a great question. Alex, you know, we saw a lot of instantaneous judgment in the Old Testament, but we didn't see a lot of instantaneous judgment in the New Testament. Why was the lesson of Ananias and Sapphira so important?
Good question. And you're right, this is an example of instantaneous judgment. And, you know, I think one of the takeaways is that after, and this is, by the way, in Acts chapter 5, when God was working mightily, and people were voluntarily, you know, giving their life for the gospel and investing in the gospel. So Ananias and Sapphira, I think for one thing, part of the severity of the judgment was it really was tainting the beautiful work God was doing, because they did it out of pride. They sell some property, and they're going to give the money to the church and the work of the Lord. And they make a deal secretly between themselves that they're going to give some money, but they're not going to give all of it. And it was pride. For one thing, their action was about pride and, you know, looking big in front of everybody. And I think another thing was they secretly colluded in private, and they lied. And so, again, you know, Peter knows that this is not about really a pure heart serving the Lord. And Peter asks Ananias, you know, and Sapphira both, if they were telling the truth, and they both fell down dead. And it says fear fell on the whole group. So, and let me say this. This was voluntary. It wasn't like, hey, you've got to do this and sell it and give all your money or you can't be a Christian. It was a voluntary thing. They didn't have to. They could have been honest and just said, you know, we're going to give X amount. But I think part of the severity was that it was the first tainting what God was doing. And what God was doing was wonderful. And their attempt to mess it up was a bad thing. I think it also shows that God does frown on pride. God does frown on dishonesty. And the body of Christ is supposed to stay reverent and humble before God and not do things to aggrandize themselves, but to further the gospel. I mean, there are a lot of lessons we could draw out of that.
There absolutely are. Thank you, Alex. That's a great answer. Let's talk to Wayne calling from Ohio this afternoon. Wayne, good afternoon and welcome to Exploring the Word. Well, let's try that again. Hi, Wayne.
Hi, hello. God bless you guys. What an awesome show. You know what? You guys need to think about going 2 hours instead of an hour.
The Bible, God bless you, brother.
Just a plug there. But anyways, you're talking about challenges and things that come up in life. And when I was young, I always struggled with, you know, trying to walk with the Lord. And then something would happen and just blow me off the wind. I'd be all over the place. Why me? You know? But then I ran across the book of James in chapter 1 where it talks about consider pure joy of trials and tribulations. That's how he develops character, perseverance, or steadfastness, depending on the version of the Bible you're reading. And Alex, does that go along with what you're talking about that we're that you were sharing with about here in Thessalonians and Jim, you also? All right, I'll shut up. I'll get off here and listen.
All right, Wayne, thanks so much for the call this afternoon. Alex, I'm going to let you take first stab at that.
Well, God bless you. You know, Billy Graham tells the story about he and Ruth one time were walking on a beach and they found some coins, and the person with them was explaining how the sea, depending on what it was, if it was gold or if it was something less pure, the waves in the sand either wore it down or polished it up. They said, whether it wears you away or polishes you up depends on what it's made of. And that's like Christians too. You know, God does never allow something into our life to try to harm us. Spurgeon said, God loves us too much to hurt us. He's too wise to make a mistake. When we don't understand, can't trust his hand, we can trust his heart.
Amen.
And so always there is an opportunity to improve ourselves and grow more deeply. And I think that's why God allows struggles into our life sometimes.
Amen. Good stuff. Well, folks, if we didn't get to your question this afternoon, you can send those to us to word@afr.net, afr.net, and we'll try and answer those in the coming days. Alex, thanks again for letting me hang out with you this afternoon, and what say we do it again tomorrow?
Hey, 1 Thessalonians 4 tomorrow, people.
Right here on Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. Have a great afternoon.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.